Morning to everybody. I have had a bit of a struggle this last few days. I can't hear. So, as I, Steve told me that since Carrie wasn't here today, I was going to be speaking again. And I remembered giving Joseph as his verses to write, as the children's writing practice is verses from the Bible. And they're, grammar and punctuation things. We use verses from the Bible. And so I had given him Psalm 100, so I thought I'd take a quick look at that this morning. And I had to smile because it starts with, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." As I was looking at that, I glanced at Psalm 95, because it also is highlighted somewhat in my Bible, and it says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. That's Psalm 149. I guess over and over it is said, firstly, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So the fact that those who were out there couldn't hear the worship, which the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So if it was off key, but our hearts are in it, he still inhabits it. He is still pleased with it. If it is our intent to be thankful to him. And what did it say there? To enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise, to be thankful unto him and to bless his name. Sounds like such a simple thing, doesn't it? Be thankful to him and bless his name and enter his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And he's pleased with that. The Lord is a great King and a great God and a great King above all gods. And that's how we please him. Isn't that simple? I can't hear. Speak up. No one answered it to you. It's a simple thing. Last week we spoke about how the Lord had created everything that we see that we may enjoy it. How easy it is for us to be thankful. And how quickly we forget to be thankful. We pray and we say, "Lord, please help. Please give me. Please show me. Please, please, please." And how many times do we forget to say, "Thank you for answering"? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come in before his presence with singing. I know I don't sing enough. I need to do it more. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. That's our hope, is salvation. He will beautify the meek with salvation. That means those who are humble, who serve him, not themselves. And he will beautify us with salvation. It is a good thing. Take time today, before the day goes by too fast or too far, to be thankful to the Lord and to be joyful in him. Amen.
Megan was talking about how easy it is to please the Lord and our praises with our thanks. But the point I wanted to make is that I know that a lot of times we as people don't seem to see why should we give him thanks. See, I mean, one of the biggest things is, and I say this because the truth is, and I know people who are listening to this right now or who will listen to this have this go on in their hearts. They don't want to admit it. Because who wants to admit when we're wrong, you know what I mean? And we don't want to do these things. I mean, I don't know. Generally, we're not like, yoo-hoo, let me raise my hands. I'm wrong. I'm the one. Yeah. But you go through times. And you know why you go through these times? Selfishness. Pride. And what I mean by selfishness is you want the Lord to bless all your plans. And of course, if the Lord were to bless all our plans, first of all, let's start with my son Joseph. I can tell you, it's not a very good place for the rest of us if the Lord were to bless all of his plans. He would have robots doing all sorts of crazy things, and the rest of us really don't have a very important part in his plans. Okay, so if we were to bless all Joseph's plans, it wouldn't be very kind to the rest of us. Or loving to the rest of us. And that just happens to be a truth. I mean, Joseph is easy for me to kind of pick on this morning and use, because he's kind of fun that way. But the same is true of ourselves. We have things we want. I want a boyfriend. Right? Not me. I mean, I'd be a guy. So I want a girlfriend, okay? You know, I mean, I am in Vermont, so it could be true, I suppose. But you know, I want a girlfriend or something like that. Why can't I? Why am I not popular? Why am I not this? And it's all about me. And when it's all about you, then you know what? It is very hard to be thankful. Very hard. Now, I want to turn to something I was reading with the children this morning. It's in Matthew chapter 18. And beginning with verse 1, it says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Watch that. Two things. If you don't do these two things, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me ask you, who wants to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Amen. I get some hands on this one, okay? I get some hands. Everybody wants to enter into the kingdom of heaven, even Joseph over here. All right. You too, Abs. Okay, we got everybody covered. Everybody here who's here has raised their hands. We want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But watch, he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted." So number one is converted. What's it mean to be converted? Change? What? But I'm all right. What's there to change? I mean, don't you remember Arthur Fonzarelli in Happy Days, you know, when he went into the bathroom and he went in there and he pulled his comb out and he was about ready to comb his hair and he looked in the mirror and it couldn't be improved upon. It was already perfect. Now, I say this to you because, look, most of us don't come from the perspective of Arthur Fonzarelli, okay, where we think everything's just perfect, all right? But most of us come from the perspective of thinking we got some pretty decent things to hang on to. We got some stuff that's right, man. It's those other people, you know what I mean? And you can name them. I mean, depending on who you are, like if you're not in the leading group, the people who are in charge, then they're the ones with the problem. That's a very popular one here in America. Okay, and I'm not trying to justify those who are governmental leaders. Don't hear me wrong. But if you're not one of those government leaders, then who's the cause of all of our problems? Them. Okay, and if you're one of those people, you're looking out at the other people and you're going, you know who's the cause of all our problems? You. Referring to the people out there who won't do what they say and don't seem to be smart. They're lazy, they're this, they're that, they're the other thing they find, and they have all these different things. So we all walk around thinking, yeah, we got something and somebody else is the problem. You know what? If that's where you are, you ain't been converted. You haven't been converted. Because the fact of the matter is, the whole world has gone astray. And what that means is, the entire seed of Adam, Every single one born into this world has gone astray, me, myself, and I included. If I'm going to be converted, I have to first come to recognize that truth. And I have to desire that, you know what? I don't want to be that way anymore. I don't want to be the one who's gone astray. I don't want to be that person. I'm the one who's been messed up. Not everybody else. I mean, look, I'm not trying to justify everybody else. Don't hear me wrong. I'm not trying to say everybody else is doing great. Look, anybody who's walked around out here in the world knows that it ain't a kind place. Okay? It's not a kind place. It's hard to find kindness. It's hard to find love. It's hard to find these things, right? But the thing is if all we're doing is looking at all those other people and saying how they're falling short, then what about us? Don't people look at us and find the same thing true of us? I mean, isn't it the truth? All right, so if we're going to be converted, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, which means you recognize that you were going the wrong direction, ye had the wrong idea, you had the wrong notion. Basically, in one word, you were wrong. All right, so you were wrong. Okay, so what you do is you realize, you know what, I think I'd like to stop being wrong. How do you stop being wrong? Okay, you start agreeing with God. Now watch. It says, except, and this goes to the second part. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children. That's not that you go around, put diapers on and suck your thumb and stuff like that. I hope to God not. Okay? But the thing about a little child is a little child is like a sponge. They just absorb everything and they're learning. Now, when you become as a little child, you become as a little child in the kingdom of God, okay? So you are, the thing you're a sponge to is now trying to find out what's right. You're a sponge to the word. You follow what I'm saying? You're a sponge. You receive it. You don't parse it. You don't go, well, you know, this part I like, this part I don't like. All right? You, whoa. Okay. Come here. It's all right. Come here. Come here. Come here. Oh, he's going to be okay. In the name of Jesus, just a little bit. Get in here. Come on, sit down, Joe, right here. You're going to be all right. Come on, sit down. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Shh. It's going to be all right. Just relax. A little fall for those who are out there down the stairs. You're going to be all right. Relax. Okay? You okay? Just relax. Come on. Receive it. Receive it. Oh, it's going to handle all of that for you. Just every bit of it. Okay? Just relax. All right. So, we want to be that sponge, like that little child. A child wouldn't learn how to talk if they weren't a sponge. You follow what I'm saying? They wouldn't learn how to talk. But the fact that they're a sponge. You know what would happen if we didn't, if little children weren't that way, we'd all end up being like little children. You know, because the little child would be sitting back there thinking, well, the way I communicate is perfectly fine. I don't care if they can't understand it. But instead, the little child wants to learn to communicate, right? They want to learn to do the things that they see you doing, right? They want to walk, so they start trying, okay? They want to talk. They want to do these things. Well, do you want to walk in the kingdom of God? Okay, then you have to humble yourself as one of these little children. You have to recognize, I don't know anything about the kingdom of God. I've grown up completely alienated from everything there is to be with the kingdom of God. And I want to learn. Do you follow what I'm saying? And I say this because, I mean, I remember. And there are people here who have been around from when I first came to the Lord. Nobody physically in this room right now, but there are people out there listening and the like who were around. And when I came to the Lord, I was 28 years old. You know, I was well educated, if you will, from the perspective of the world. I was wise in the ways of the world. I had, you know, a lot of people would have considered me something of like a Renaissance man. You know, I mean, I knew science, you know, I knew philosophy and different kind of religious things. I knew politics. I knew the law and, you know, a bunch of different things. Read a whole bunch of stuff, traveled all over the world, seen all different sorts of things, was wise in the ways of the world. I came to know the Lord, and all of a sudden, I was like, was everything I ever knew wrong? And what I decided to do, I didn't know if any of it was right or not. I just decided to lay it all down. I decided to lay it all down and rather seek to learn the Lord's ways. And the Lord in that blessed me mightily. And just to give you an idea of how this would play out as a person, I was already an attorney, as many of you know. So I went from being a guy who had supreme confidence in every situation. A guy, I remember going when I was fresh out of law school, I'd passed the bar, but I don't think I'd been admitted to the New York bar yet. I think it was like another month before I got admitted to the bar. But I was working for this large law firm, and I'd been a Christian. I mean, I'd been working for them about 3 weeks. Okay? And they sent me alone to Portland, Oregon from New York City. And they sent me to hang out in the conference room of a billion-dollar company that AT&T was purchasing with their CEO, their general counsel, and their private law office, and me. Okay? And I was the point person to go through the documents associated with this and to be reporting back to headquarters in Chicago and New York on all the things. And I had all of the documents. I'd go home at like midnight, and in my hotel room, there would be documents stacked up on the bed next to me. It was one of those with two beds. One of the beds would be completely stacked up like 4 feet high with documents. And I was in that situation. And you know what my feeling was? That CEO, that firm from Portland, Oregon, and that general counsel, I was on par with them or ahead of them. That was my attitude. And I went through those documents, and I just knew I was fine and I belonged. In fact, I got years later, when I was a Christian, I was dealing with that firm, and they still remembered me. This was like 15 years later, this guy who I'd worked with, he still remembered me. And I was just a 25-year-old kid at the time, out there, 20-something. I don't remember how old I was. Maybe I was a little older than that, 27, something like that. But what I mean is that in the world, I was a guy who people esteemed and was a guy who seemed to have knowledge and had extraordinary success. That transaction closed in reliance on much of the work I was doing. And AT&T threw, I think it was $675 million. We got the two books over there that are about it, over there on my shelf. Okay, I had great confidence in situations like that. When I became a Christian and realized that all that I had learned was wrong, now when I went up against a little attorney in Vermont, from a small town in Vermont like Chelsea, Vermont, not exactly the big city, not exactly the big time going over to the courthouse in Chelsea, I was terrified and weeping going into court. Because I saw the other as being so much greater than me, and me having no knowledge whatsoever. Now, I share this with you, because which position do you think was more comfortable? Do you think it was more comfortable, the one in which I thought, man, I don't care who in the hell you are, I'm going to take you down, I'm going to defeat you, you are going down. There is nothing you can pull on me. Or do you think it was to be utterly terrified and see even just one little attorney on the other side as being far too much for you to handle? Which do you think was more comfortable? Of course, the first was more comfortable. And I say it to you because when it talks about be converted and become as little children, see, little children, when they go out there, when a little child starts to walk, for example, what does it do? How does it do? It falls a lot. Does it? When it looks up at others, does it see itself as being better than them? Right. because it can't do it. It sees them doing it, and it's frustrated. It wants to do it. Okay, when a little child starts to talk, okay, does that little child see themselves as better than the ones that they see talking? Okay. And do you think, which position do you think is more comfortable? Do you think it's more comfortable when you don't know how to express yourself? You can't make yourself known to other people? Or do you think it's more comfortable when you can? Of course, it's more comfortable when you can. All right, it can be pretty daggone frustrating. And with Abby right now, she's doing a lot better. But I mean, she'll sometimes we'll get into these things. And I'm like listening to her, and I'm like, I have no idea what she's saying. And she's sure I should understand. And she starts to get frustrated. Because I didn't realize she was talking about socks. I thought she was talking about, I don't know, any of another 15, 20, 60 different things. And I share this with you because, look, the walk of faith, if you want to enter in, there are things you're going to have to pass through to enter in. If you're going to learn the ways of God, then you're going to have to lay your ways down. All right, so it says, verily I say to you, except you be converted, so you recognize first of all that you are going the wrong direction and you turn around and become as little children, you humble yourself to become that sponge. You recognize you don't know anything about what walking in this new kingdom is about and you want to learn about it. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So these two things you have to do if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, because that's the person whom God can pour all the good things of his kingdom into, because that person will receive them and then minister them unto others. Do you follow what I'm saying? All right, the person who thinks they already got it, how can you teach somebody who thinks they already know? You can't. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me. Now note that. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now what this is about, and a lot of people don't realize what this is about, but this is about this very common situation that happens in Christianity and turns people out of the way. See, to offend is to turn them out of the way in which they should go. You turn them out of the way. And you know what it is, the way you do that? This is the most common way in which it comes up in my experience. People who've been Christians, so to speak, for a while, and see themselves now as righteous. All right? And note this, I said, who say that who have been Christians for a while and see themselves as righteous. Right, that last part is very, very important to this. Are we righteous? No. The one who is righteous is Christ Jesus. And he covers us with his cloak of righteousness, that righteousness of God, which is received by faith. So we are not righteous. Instead, we partake of his righteousness. But those that begin to perceive themselves as righteous, you know what they say to these little ones? Your sin is showing. They see the sin in the other person, and they're offended, and they think they've got to get rid of that sin that other person is in. Okay, and they think it's their job to go and do so. And I say this to you because, see, what happens is in so doing, they start saying, well, no, look, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do the other thing. And what happens, or you have to do this, or you have to do that, or you have to do the other thing. And what they're doing here is they're now turning them from the simple faith in the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ for their salvation. And as they do that, they're turning them out of the way. And he says of such people that it was better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was were drowned in the depth of the sea. Okay, and that happens a lot. That happens a lot. And one of the things is, as a minister that happens is you see this. You see the people coming in who want to offend those who have, they want to turn these people out of the way. Remember what the Pharisees, they were a good example of it. What did they do? When Jesus was hanging out, they said, why does your master hang out with publicans and sinners? Okay, they were offended at those who hung out with them. Was Jesus in there telling them, sinners, you guys have to do this, that, and the other thing? No, the ones who were saying that were the ones who were offended at those that he was with. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's who was offended. Did Jesus give them any place? No. He was, if you were a scribe or a Pharisee, Jesus was a fearsome creature to you. He didn't give you any place whatsoever. And he used to tell on you to the people. And they knew it. The people knew it, and the Pharisees knew it. Like he'd tell parables about them. And they would go, and the Pharisees would be just all indignant in themselves because they would know that he was talking about them, but they were furious about him. But the people, man, those stupid people who don't know anything, thought he was like a prophet and a man of God. So they were afraid to do something in the midst. And you know why Jesus was doing that? I mean, he was doing it for a couple of reasons. One was for the scribe and Pharisees' sake. Perchance they might repent and be converted. Okay? But more importantly, it was for the sake of those little ones that they wouldn't listen to those scribes and Pharisees. All right, with my children, I've got to deal with my children. Look, on the world, you turn on the television set, what is there? Garbage, man. I mean, it is like garbage on top of garbage on top of garbage, and there's nothing you can watch that doesn't have garbage in it, pretty much. But the fact of the matter is that it's a good for me, it's a good window into the world for me to work with my children on. Okay, they have a safe sanctuary here in our house. And one of the things about the television set is they get exposed to the world to a certain extent, but they get exposed to it in an environment where I can highlight to them the things that are right and the things that are wrong. So that they can then see it. So that they can be strengthened. So when they've got to go out here in the world themselves, you know what? These things won't be strange that are going on out in the world, but they'll know the truth. See, I'm not afraid of them going out and being exposed to it because they're going to have to. I mean, I got to deal with it. They're going to have to deal with it too. There's no way of avoiding it. But the fact of the matter is that I, as a father to them, am very mindful of what it is that's there. And I don't want to see them in this sponge state that they are to just receive that which is garbage as being true. So what am I saying to them all the time? Joe, is that true? Do I say that more than once with you when we're watching something? Right. Now, there's things in there that are true. And I don't highlight those to them in the same way. But the things that aren't true, I highlight to them in ways that they can see. So they begin to discern and recognize the things that are right from the things that are wrong. Okay? But as a minister and as a father in the Lord here, what happens is part of my responsibility is to be, as Jesus was to the scribes and Pharisees, to be like him to the scribes and Pharisees of this world, that I drive off those that would seek to offend those who come to a faith in Christ Jesus and understand the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel is, you know what? He's the one who makes us fit to partake of all the good things of the kingdom of God. We can't make ourselves fit. We can't. But he makes us fit. So, continuing on here. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always Behold the Father, the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Notice that. See, this is that whole thing heading back to converted. The Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Well, when you're lost, that means you got to turn around, right? You're going the wrong direction. All right? How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So, one of these little ones comes, receives the gospel of Jesus Christ in simplicity. That person becomes precious unto the Lord. Now, Linda, I remember you and Roger a few months back. I mean, you'd grown up here, you'd been to church, you knew about Christianity, everything, but a couple months back, and Henry's the same way, you guys received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You actually asked Him to come into your heart. You were converted, or in the process of being converted, in that sense. And the fact of the matter is that at that moment, you became precious to our Lord. You became precious to Him. Linda, I know you've had children. Your children are precious to you, aren't they? Right? You become precious to Him. Right? And He doesn't want to see you go astray. He wants to see you go in, walk in that way. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass... Well, now, let me say something about that. You become precious against Him. And this whole thing about despise not. I have Abigail right here, and Abigail is 2.5 years old, and she can sometimes be a little frustrating. I'm sure you have more than one time you've been frustrated with your children, right? It's happened to you. I just can't imagine. I mean, it's even happened as they became adults sometimes. You get a little frustrated with them. But you don't despise them. You know what I'm saying? You don't despise them. You still love them. You still want to see them reconciled. You still want to see good things for them. And what happens is when we despise, it's because we get caught up in pride and this, that, and the other thing. And we don't like the way they reflect on us, for example. And the fact of the matter is, again, that ends up being all about us. We got to get over those things. Children, I've... Jeannie here, she's been part of the fellowship here for a lot of years. And, you know, Jeannie's sometimes gone out there and said some things with folks that has not been the smartest things in the world to have said. And you know what happens when she does something like that? People think I'm some kind of an idiot because she said something out there and they think I told her to go say such a thing. Or what are they teaching in that church? To get you, da 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 da. And you know what it makes me feel like? Bad. I don't like it. But the fact of the matter is, whoop-de-doo, that's about me once again, right? Jeannie's precious to Christ. And the fact of the matter is that, you know what? Children make mistakes. They go out here and they do stupid things. And they're learning. So what? So what? Right, can you imagine how any of us, what would have happened to all of us if we were just cast off as soon as we offended when we were children? I mean, I got 4 children. Some of them, you know, they get quicker. One of them's quicker at like reading, or say, and another one's quicker at something else. And another one's quicker at a different thing. And the fact of the matter is, Joseph, leave her be. He's obviously feeling better. He's back tormenting his sister. So we have... But you follow what I'm saying? What happens here is that thank God we weren't cast off. And how can we then cast off another? And watch what happens here. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. All right, so I want to give an example of this, both in how it happens kind of rightly and how it happens wrongly, if you will. I know a person who went to a church for all her life, an older person, so has been going there for decades and decades and decades. And she had a sister who was going through a hard time, and she kind of took her sister, and she took her sister over to church with her. She took her sister over to church with her because she thought that it might be a benefit and a blessing to her sister if she were to introduce her to some new people and give her an opportunity to go in a different direction. She took her sister over there, and her sister, while she was meeting these people, was all, nice to meet you, this, that, and the other thing. Everything was kind. And when this other person was gone, the sister spoke evil of her to her friends. You know why? Because she was jealous of the fact that she had these kinds of friends and she did not. And her way of turning them unto herself was to speak evil of her sister. Okay. Now, her sister came to know this at some point in time. Did her sister go and tell her sister? No. You know why? What her sister preferred to do instead was to let it slide and just think better of herself. Did that help the sister who was the one who was lying and trying to turn these other people away from her?
No. Didn't help at all. It didn't help at all.
And so her sister died without ever having been called to account on these things. Do you think that was good for her sister? Think that was loving? Now, the way, if you deal with it, it says here, if your brother trespass, would say, thy brother shall trespass against thee. What had happened here was a trespass against her sister telling lies about a sister to try and turn people from her. That's a trespass. All right? It doesn't say go publicize it to everybody else. I mean, if you were around my children, this is the kind of thing you'd have happen. You'd have Ruthie come in and start talking to me about what Joseph or Sammy has done. She wouldn't go to Joseph or Sammy about what she's done. She'd come tell everybody else about what Joseph or Sammy has done. So that's not the right way, okay? And that's not kind to the sibling, is it? But when you go to your sibling and you say, look, Joseph, you know, I really would appreciate it if you, I mean, and say, just why is it that I hear that you're telling these other people these things about me? Now, Joseph has a choice in that, right? He has a choice to either set the record straight, for example, if there's that what they're saying is not true. But if what they're saying is true, then he has the opportunity to acknowledge it and ask forgiveness and turn, right? And if he doesn't hear it, then what do? You take one or two with you, said every word. That which is spoken to him may be established. And what he says may be established. And if he still doesn't hear, then you bring it before the whole church. And if he doesn't hear the church, then he's separated. Remember, if thy right hand offend thee, or thy eye, or whatever, cast it out. See, what happens is, that person, if you let them stay in that situation, they're going to turn others out of the way. They're going to be constantly fomenting that type of undermining of authority and everything, and they're going to turn others out of the way, so you get rid of them. All right, an example of somebody who we did this, many of you remember, was Francisco. And Francisco, when we went to the two or three, take one or two witnesses with you at that point, he said, I'm out of here. We didn't want him out. We just wanted him to turn around. But he was offended. And so what's he become? As a heathen man and a publican. Why? Because when he's trying to come back, what's he trying to do? Is he trying to come back and say, look, I was wrong, I apologize? No, what he's trying to do is he's trying to turn others out of the way. Right? All right. Now I just want to skip down to verse 21 here for a moment. And Peter, and it says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Now I want you to listen to this. This is a cool thing. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven Now, I want you to hear this. We started back at the beginning, and it said you had to do these things. Be converted and become as little children if you wanted to enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? Now watch. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Now, what do you think happened when he was forgiven that debt? He was about ready, he and his whole family were about ready to be cast into prison. I mean, actually to be sold into slavery, excuse me. There to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So that's what it was going to be. He himself, his body was worth something to somebody. Okay, how much will anybody give me for this man? How much will anybody give me for this man's wife? Could be different people. How much would somebody give me for this man's children? How much would somebody give me for this man's house and this man's this, that, and the other thing? This man, whatever it was going to be, that's what he was going to take to satisfy himself. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now you can imagine the gratefulness you would think that this would provoke. But watch. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. 100 pence. Pence, I think, are pennies. So I think 100 of them's like a dollar, if you will, versus 10,000 talents. Does this sound like one who was converted? Right. And his servant fell down on his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts, watch that word, from your hearts, forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. See, when I was sharing the story of the person who didn't confront the sister who had been lying about her, and what she did instead is she just took it as feeling better about herself than her sister, okay, that's not forgiving that person from your heart. Do you follow what I'm saying? See, if you actually love the other person, and how many of you want to, how many of you relish the idea of going and talking with somebody about something that they've done to you? Most of us don't, right? We don't. We don't want to do that. Is that because we love the other person, or is it because we love ourselves? We love ourselves, see? And what he's saying here is that what you're to do, rather, is to go unto that other person. And in going unto that other person, what happens, if you go back up where we were, it says, moreover, if thy brother shall, verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. So nobody else in the entire world knows about this, which is kind, right? You're not poisoning anyone against that person. Not a one. Tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Do you see that? You haven't made a big show. You haven't injured him to anybody else. You haven't returned evil for evil. You've gone to him and confronted him. What is this I hear that you're saying these things about me to other people? And in that place where he is pricked in his heart and he go, I'm sorry, it's because I'm jealous of you, because you have so many friends and I don't seem to have any. And you can then say to him, well, that's not the way to gain friends, bro. That's the way to lose the only friend you got, me. And then you can show unto him another way, right? And in that, what happens? The two of you grow closer together. And then that person can go forward without any taint from any of the different things that have happened. And they can go forward and be blessed. And you get to rejoice with them in those blessings, right? And if they don't receive, it's not because, well, that brother of mine, he won't receive. No, it's not that. It's because you know that he's only hurting himself. You follow what I'm saying? You know that he's the victim of his own stupidity, so to speak, in this thing. And you're hoping to God he won't remain the victim of his own stupidity. See, you bring a couple other people and you go talk with them. Hope that he'll turn. And if not, you bring him before the whole church. Again, in the hope that he'll be converted, if you will, that he'll turn from that which he was doing, and that true reconciliation will come. That's what the goal is. And if he goes away and angry and this, that, and the other thing, and sometime back he comes and he asks forgiveness, what do? You receive him back. That's right. It's not about you. Look, you've been forgiven too. Who in the hell are you to keep somebody else out because they're done something stupid like the thousand things you did stupid before? You know what I'm saying? So you receive them back. But this concept of being converted is such an important one. I don't want people to lose sight of it. I don't want people to lose sight of it. And that thing of becoming a sponge to what? To the Word of God, where you come and you receive. And you're going to see, I mean, one of the things is, little children, for example, when you see like when Jesus went and confronted the scribes and Pharisees, what did the people think? Were they like, yeah, way to get them, and stuff like that? No, they were actually like, don't you know that you're offending them? Don't you know? They didn't know what to think about this. Okay, and that's why Jesus had to do it for their sakes. Even though they didn't get it. Do you follow what I'm saying? He had to do it for their sakes. And who is it that you were supposed to listen to? The one who ministered unto you the Word of God. See, what did the people speak of Jesus? Did they speak well of Jesus? He wouldn't have been crucified if they'd spoken well of him, right? Okay, they spoke evil. They said he was a deceiver, he was a wine-bibber, he was a glutton, a friend of publicans and sinners. They smeared him in every way. He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They smeared him in every way. Okay? And he did not fight back to defend himself, right? But he was about defending the others. You see what I'm saying? He was there about defending the others. And that's something that as you grow in the Lord, you have to be willing to do. You have to be willing to be there and defend the others. Even though it's going to mean as you do so that people are going to speak evil of you. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't be doing these things, all these other different kinds of things, they would say. But the fact of the matter is, it's because you're a Christian that you do those things. Jesus is both the Lamb of God and he is the Lion of Judah. He is both. And if we're going to serve him, we're going to have to learn both. Not just one or the other. And learn to walk in them. And so by contrast, in that example I was giving you, the woman I'm speaking of did not forgive her sister in her heart. Rather, she trumped having to forgive in her heart with pride and self-righteousness. Her sister never even asked her forgiveness because she was never confronted about it. But when a person is confronted and they ask forgiveness, what do? You forgive them. And Davey uses the example, when you forgive, also you forget. Okay, that's what it is when you really have forgiven in your heart, is you actually forget. And for example, the story he uses, and I've been, as he'll tell you if he's listening out there today, a lot of these stories, as I retell them, I sometimes butcher them, for which I apologize. I think I get the fundamental point that was at issue right. But what it was is a friend of his asked to borrow his van, and he lent him his van. And you know what his friend did? He stole the van. And you know what he did, even stealing the van, is then he got himself into trouble. And the one who had to bail him out so that he didn't go to jail for it was Richard. And the man went on, and did he come back? And when he came back and he asked forgiveness sometime later, a little later after that, he asked to borrow another van or another vehicle again. And you know what happened? Because Richard had forgotten, he gave it to him. And you know what happened? He stole that one too. But what do? When he asked forgiveness. That's the second time. It's kind of like Peter. That's the seventh time. You've reached the limit. Nah, 70 times seven. All right. And in that place, you find a place which is unlike any out here. You find a place in which God in His grace and His love and in His power is manifest, and that the people find a sanctuary that they've never known, a place where they can make their mistakes, and they're not going to be rejected because of them, a place where they can be themselves and learn to grow in the Lord. And that's what this place is supposed to be. And I guess what I'd say is, let's get busy doing it. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you. Stay tuned, folks. We'll see you guys next week.